Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we are going to be talking about New Year's resolutions in 2021. We are not going to be doing your average beginning of the year podcast where this past year, 2020, has been quite the year. For many people, you know, they might have had goals at the beginning of the year and those completely morphed, went out the window. For our prep lifers out there, you might have had a competition goal and it was rescheduled about 10 times and relocated. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to talk about kind of how this different animal is going to look in 2021, because we're still in the midst of a pandemic. The vaccination is out, but there's very much up in the air that's unknown. So it's not like we can say, oh, this year I want to travel more. I remember my goal last year at the end of 2019 was to travel to Australia. Well, obviously that didn't happen this year. So we have to kind of recenter. And I feel like the best place to start is a reflection on the things that were positive in 2020. I encourage all of you to reflect first before even sitting down to make a goal for 2021 and reflecting on the positives that did come out of this year. And some of the categories that you may want to reflect on are the seven standard. And basically, I'll just go through those. So obviously, as prep lifers, you have your fitness goals, and those can be broken down into small bite-sized chunks like exercise, nutrition, water intake, recovery, sleep, stuff like that. Spiritual goals, if you believe, you know, or you, it could just be as simple as reflection, so like a journal, things like that. In terms of the third one, it would be an educational goal. So maybe you, you know, finished a degree or a certification this year while you had some extra time. Family goals. So although we probably all were in tight quarters for several months of this year, sometimes it's good to reflect on, you know, whether or not you're able to, you know, do some one-on-one time with maybe your kids or your spouse or your significant other. Maybe you were able to FaceTime your relatives a little bit more and you're more focused on that, or doing like a Zoom call. I know my family, we had a very really, really nice way to see everybody in the extended family. We did a Zoom call for our Christmas this year, which definitely looked different, but it was really nice to be able to see everyone's faces. And we kind of all talked about like our favorite memories from past Christmases. So that was really nice. And then your fifth one area would be your career. So maybe reflecting on something that you were able to navigate and recreate yourself in a different way at home. But really reflect on some things that went well that came out of this as a positive. And then your social goals, just ways that you connect with people. And then lastly, the seventh area of achievement and goal setting would be your finances. So Chris, do you have anything before we start on the seven areas of life and then just kind of like reflection or anything you want to share with the listeners on that?
Not necessarily. I just think that I really like that you shared that in the beginning, because I think a lot of us were always like pushing to look ahead, but I really like that you set like some great grid and guidelines so that we can look back at the year and see that, you know, the whole year wasn't a waste. It wasn't a wash. Like, there were things that were accomplished. A lot of us were challenged in new ways. So kind of like picking out those gems from the year and then utilizing them to help springboard into the new year. I just think that's such a great practice. I'm probably going to encourage all of my clients to take that inventory. And I was definitely brainstorming as you were listing those things. I'll definitely add that in my gratitude journal as well. So, I think that's a great practice.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can make subcategories with those seven because there's a lot of different things that you can kind of, branch out into. Like with the spiritual, it could be like, did you meditate more this year? Did you practice yoga? And obviously, we know how to branch out with the fitness. But yeah, career could have been maybe you started a new side gig or maybe that became your full-time gig because it was online. Who knows? I mean, for you, you were a full-time student at the beginning of the year, and your path completely changed, right?
Oh my gosh, this whole year has been completely different. Where I live is different. My job is different. My competition schedule is different. And it was definitely not all things that I had planned, but they're all like great things. And I think they're going to help lay a really good foundation for the new year. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to 2021.
Yeah. I think we all are.
Yeah.
Hope. So once you have reflected on your goals, it's always important to set SMART goals. And we all probably know this from our past podcasts. We've talked about what a SMART goal is, but just for a refresher, you want to make it very specific. So that would be the S part of it. And then the M is that it's measurable. You want to have a specific number. So let's say it's a fitness goal, and we say, I want to lose 4 pounds a month, or I want to lose 1% of body fat per month. I want to lose an inch off my body per month. So that brings me to the A, which is are they achievable? And then R as well, with is it realistic? So we always talk with our clients about, slow and steady wins the race, and that things need to be time sensitive, which is the T. So you would want to lose about an average, if you have a big weight loss goal for 2021, you want to average about 1 pound a week. So that's where I came up with the 4 pounds a month. You're gonna probably lose about 1% of body fat per month. So let's say your goal is building but recomping, so switching out muscle for fat. You're not necessarily trying to lose weight, but you're trying to lose body fat. So 1% per month is extremely realistic. And then where I came up with the 1 inch per month is that we expect for someone that's trying to reshape their body, not necessarily lose weight, but reshape and recomp, because fat is such a voluminous. It's what I'm losing the word here. Adipose tissue takes up a lot of space compared to muscle. So if you have 1 pound of muscle, it's very dense. It doesn't take up a lot of space, and then the fat takes up large amounts. So a really trackable, realistic goal would be to lose 1/4 of an inch per week, whether that's off your waist, your hips, your glute ham tie-in. Those are realistic. And so if you're switching out, even if the scale is not giving you any feedback, if you are truly switching out fat for muscle, you're going to see those inches go down as well. And you're probably finding that your clothes are fitting you not as well. If they were big before, they're going to be falling off. They're going to be loose and baggy. Or if they were tight, you'll be fitting into them better. Anything to add on SMART goals?
Did you go over tea?
Yeah, time sensitive. So realistically, that's why I was saying per month. So
Okay.
like let's say you want to lose 4 pounds a month. That way it gives you a time sensitive goal. And then obviously like a long-term goal. So once you've reflected on the past year and you're setting a long-term goal, for most of you that's probably going to be like a competition date. So you want to make sure that obviously, that's giving you time, that's giving you the date. So when you check in with your coach, hopefully they're asking you to put how many weeks out you are so that you're keeping track of that. And then kind of, reverse engineering that goal. So making sure that you know like where you need to be, how much time you actually need, and budget that out. And so from there, we can kind of break it down month per month. And this was the next strategy that I kind of wanted to go over, is that once you have your long-term goal, I think that it's important to put that into bite-sized chunks and to set mini goals for each month and just kind of write out a calendar. And then every month you should reflect and review what things that you have actually achieved. And that way you can reset and get perspective before you dive into the next month. And then your weekly calendar should be reflective of where you want to go. So if your goal is to lose weight, then, you know, daily you should be tracking your food. You know, those are some key things. Getting to the gym, doing your cardio, if that's what you're supposed to do, getting in your water. These should be daily checklists that get you to that mini goal for the month and then ultimately long-term, that long-term goal.
So I definitely have something to add for organizing this. Like as a coach, I went to the dollar store and I got one of those like booklets. It's like a calendar booklet. I got actually like a, like 8.5 by 11. So it's pretty big. And I have written out, which was great that you posted our team shows, or you let our girls know what our team shows are and like national shows as they're coming up and they're getting posted. I plug them into the calendar so that I know, what I have, like a year where I can kind of like look in advance and schedule out. And then I carry that with me anytime that, you know, I'm working on the road or traveling.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And then what I'll do as far as like people and, you know, like keeping track of people's like timeline for their show coming up, you know, we include that in their check-ins. So we know like how to plan it out, but it always helps me visually to see things laid out in front of me. And then kind of how you said, like you have the year. So I have like that booklet to look at the whole year. And then I actually have a whiteboard, two whiteboard calendars where, I'll have the month. So I'll like schedule out like, okay, what's happening this month? Where do I need to like organize my time? And especially if you have families, like organizing everybody to keep them all on the same page, having that whiteboard calendar has been really helpful. And then I have a second whiteboard calendar where I do like 2 weeks at a time where, or no, I do a week at a time where I can look at like Monday and I can say, all right, these are the things that I want to achieve on Monday and I'll write them out. And then Tuesday, so that I, on Sundays, I plan my week ahead of time, knowing like what other appointments I have and what I can fill my extra free time with achieving those specific goals. So it's a lot of like extra planning, but I'm a planner. I like to organize. That helps me like reduce stress and helps me feel like I'm advancing if I kind of have some sort of schedule and plan. And also I like that you can break it down weekly because last year things were so unpredictable as far as like gyms being closed or shows being moved that it gives you a little bit of control in your week where you're like, okay, like this has shifted in my monthly schedule. So now like next week I can make adjustments. I don't know. I think that has helped me just have a little bit of like stability and feeling like I can at least control my week, like one week at a time.
Yeah. I like that. I'm less of a pen and paper person. I've never been that. So I'm more of an app girl. And so what I do is on my Fitness Pal, I have my macros already plugged in there. And so I do menu planning for the week so that when, on the weekend, when we go to the grocery store, that I have everything budgeted out ahead of time. So I basically make my own meal plan. And then we get all the groceries and so that way I'm ready to go. I never on the fly plug my macros in and try to track that way. I find that it's a lot easier to, for the week, you know, get that laid out so that I'm ready. And then on my Trainerize app, I will schedule my cardio, my workout sessions right in there and it lets you program ahead of time. So I do like the whole week, either like on Monday or on Sunday and I'll plug those all in. So I know that I have everything on schedule. So I know when I'm doing my exercises and then with my long-term goal, especially with competitions, I use the app called Countdown And Countdown app is basically right now it has a background of the show that I've picked out. It has the banner, and then it has how many days, hours, minutes, and seconds until I achieve X goal. So that's where I find my long-term goal. At times I'll put that on when it gets like closer. Sometimes I'll write it on the chalkboard, and I'll do my countdown calendar where I can see it every day. It's on my pantry. But yeah, those are some of the things that I do for like plotting things out.
I love that.
I think that kind of hits. We're going to talk about scheduling goals. So
yeah.
Did you want to share any tidbits on that before?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, since we're talking about apps, I definitely know that using a calendar, like a call time calendar on my phone has really helped me. I think, well, last year, a lot of times with our like 30-minute calls, a lot of people's schedules changed, or there was a lot of things that were inconsistent. So I've used the, I don't even know how to say it, Calendly? Yeah.
Calendly, I think. Yeah.
Yes. It's a free app that allows you to like set up call time so I can put availability like 30-minute blocks. And there's a link where my clients can go in and schedule their appointments if they need to switch, you know, their kids had to stay home from school, or, you know, they had to, you know, rearrange their schedule because the gym times closed early, whatever. They can go in there on their own time, reschedule, and then it takes a lot of stress out of me trying to coordinate schedules and allows me to focus on other things like meal planning. So that has been really great. I know for most people, with having the inconsistency or working from home, two big things that have been kind of like inconsistent are sleep and their work schedule. So I think, you know, if you've worked from home or you've been an independent or online coach, you know that you're responsible for your own work time. You don't have a boss, so you need to, you know, like Amy said, you plan out your workouts, you plan out your work day. And you execute it based off of like how you organize your day. But for a lot of people working from home, they don't have the same routine of having to get up and go to work. So they stay up later, which allows them to sleep in later. And then you start work later. So it kind of like throws off a normal routine. And I think like a lot of people work really well in having structure. So I was reading an article that was saying those are the two biggest things that have slipped with the past coming year. So making sure that, like, you know, Amy budgets her workout time and I budget my call time, you set, like, you still have a regular bedtime, you still have a regular wake-up time, and then you know your hours that you're working from home. Yeah. Is there anything you wanted to add to that one, Amy?
No, I think that setting a routine is the biggest thing. You know, I hear people kind of fell off the wagon when they, you know, there were certain parts of their day that they knew, like, you know, they were going to work and the kids were going to school. And so I think things got, you know, turned around upside down. And like you said, those of us that are, you know, already in that space, we know that, you know, it sounds like a minor thing, but I would still get dressed the same way. I would put on my makeup, but I noticed like my family, they would still stay in their pajamas and things like that. So I think it was an adjustment for everybody. And I think that as things, you know, still continue, I think things are constantly evolving and noticing that there's a lot more screen time, in particular, a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of just TV watching in general, staying up late and things like that. So I think one of the points that when people are reflecting and kind of looking back, I think just making space to declutter some of the extra screen time is going to be super important. I know we got outside a lot more, so that was a positive this year, but just kind of budgeting some things so that people are, you know, a little bit more productive, and so they're not getting so burnt out and, you know, in the grind of just sitting there in front of a computer or scrolling the gram, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes a lot of sense, because I think, you know, when people are at home, they associate it with being done work and relaxing. Like, that's been your routine for years. So you're in an environment where your natural activity is to, you know, relax, spend time with your family, but then to have to, you know, do the activities of a work day, or even if you've been at home working from home, but now, like, now all of your family is there too, the environment can kind of like throw off your focus, because you have these other like stimuli that haven't been there before, especially with a lot of kids being doing school online and at home now. So I think setting like a process goal, like we kind of said about, like, you know, you're setting up your week, but looking at one day at a time of like, okay, so now I know that, you know, I'm waking up at this time, my workday schedule is starting at this time. Writing out like what you plan to achieve for that day can help you execute it, rather than having like one. I used to have like one long to-do list where I could, everything I could think of that I wanted to get done, I would put on this list, and it became so overwhelming that I just wouldn't do anything, because I was like, oh, this is too much. But if you like break it down into bite-sized pieces, like we mentioned, and designate it for a day, that's like more or less like a process goal. So like Monday, I'm going to do this and this and this for work, and these other, you know, activities I'll complete on Tuesday. Can help it make it feel a little bit more organized and realistic when you're in that type of situation.
Yeah. So another type of goal is just like an action goal. So you want to make sure that you, if you have like a big thing to tackle, that you're, the biggest thing is putting it in bite-sized chunks. So we talked about a long-term goal. We talked about short-term goals. And it's important to set that really large goal, but then really scale it down. So if you can try to do like a stretch goal in terms of making it almost to the point where it seems impossible, really pushing yourself outside your comfort zone, I think that mm-hmm. too is really important, to make it a bit of a stretch, at the same time make it realistic. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so I think for action goals, a lot of people in the new year, you know, we have health goals, and we want to be able to, I want to visit the gym 4 days a week. But I think making it more flexible, in that I want to work out 4 times a week. So no matter if the gym's open or it's not open, you know, there's still ways for me to execute an exercise or a workout, you know, and staying consistent with it that way. I think just like kind of reframing your mindset can help it be a little bit more achievable than like, oh, well, now the gym's closed, I can't execute my goal. And then you feel like disappointed because you set the standard and then you can't fulfill it. But really looking at like, okay, well, I do have, you know, at the worst case scenario, you have body weight and you can use that for an exercise. So I think action goals set that way are more realistic. And then for stretch goals, definitely looking at like what you want to achieve that is outside of your normal routine, but is not super dependent on outside factors. So like we talked about education in the beginning of the podcast, like what's something that you want to learn? So, you know, I love learning, and being out of school, like there's still, I still want to listen to like scientific podcasts, or I still will buy like exercise textbooks and want to read those. So allowing myself to be stretched in that aspect of expanding my knowledge, but not necessarily like having to sit in a classroom. So I think stretch goals are things that you want to achieve, but they're not so dependent on outside factors, can still give you something to focus on and allow you to achieve it and not get discouraged, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and maybe your goal is to travel, but although you aren't able to catch a flight to a foreign country, you know, you could make that a road trip to a destination that you've never been and get out in nature versus like going to an amusement park or something that's a little bit less risky, but that you're still able to break up the monotony and get outside of your house. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think like the main takeaways like is to write it down or put it somewhere visual, like take time to brainstorm, and then I think it's great to put it on paper or have a vision board or something in front of you so that you can keep that focus throughout the year.
Yeah, my big thing too is sharing that goal with other people
That
you have that accountability. Obviously, having a coach is a huge thing when it comes to accountability and making sure you're checking those weekly boxes and that they're helping you get to your long-term vision. But also just, you know, sharing with your community what you have in mind to do. And I would really love it if anyone could tag us on whether it's those seven areas that we talked about. What are your goals for 2021? We want to know what your big audacious stretch goal is. And so, if you could tag us on your stories, we would absolutely love that. I would also like to see some of the things that you're most proud of in 2020. So reflecting back, those are just equally as important. And if you can tag us, we are found on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast. And you can also find us at Glam Girl Bikini. If you would like to apply for the team, we do have, you know, it is the first of the year, so there's a big rush of people, but we are looking for very hardworking individuals that are prep life minded. So if you fit that mold and you would like to apply, you're going to go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the Get Started button to apply there. And this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.